Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out.
Not that we needed this confirmation, but all it took was someone to put on the uniform in a color that's different from ours, to immediately eviscerate them in a sport we don't really understand. Because the American public has not taken kindly to watching Reagan be a breakdancer. Apparently she's 36 years old. We know she's from Australia. And Americans are trashing her consistently for her performances. I don't know what's a good breakdancer in the Olympics. A lot of people aren't fans of it. But logistics is getting good reviews, so that's cool. If you want to watch something other than breakdancing at some point in the near future, I'm going to give you that. I was leading to something, but you make a point. Wouldn't you always want to focus on breakdancing? But if not, I'm going to give you a chance to win something. You like Alien? You like facehuggers? This is the giveaway for you. In a truly terrifying cinematic experience, Alien Romulus is the sci-fi horror thriller that takes the phenomenally successful Alien franchise back to its roots. While scavenging the deep ends of a derelict space station, a group of young space colonists come face-to-face with the most terrifying film life form in the universe. Caller 8 at 713-780-3776 wins a 4-pack of tickets to the advanced screening on August 14th at Regal Edwards Houston Marquee, plus a $100 Visa gift card. Alien Romulus opens in theaters nationwide Friday, August 16th. So if you want a chance to see it early and you would like to make the trip to Regal Edwards Houston Marquee, this is your time. Caller 8, 713-780-3776. Take your family to see Alien Romulus. Apparently, it's going to be more like what we remember the Alien series. Facehuggers, more horror-based. I'm in. I know. I've seen the trailers. I'm going to watch it. Caller 8, 713-780-3776. Win that 4-pack. You want to see a movie for free and see it early? Plus the $100 gift card? This call in. Try to get in. Sean will take care of that as we get you squared away. You'll get an email. And then you'll get all the instructions you need on how to get all the prizes. Love a movie giveaway, particularly when you get to see it early. Okay, tonight Texans, Steelers. I've gone through the breakdown of who will play and who won't play. Probably the most important person who will play is your quarterback. I would probably throw Blake Fisher in there too, being the starting left tackle for the night, but you don't have to worry about the Steeler pass rushers, which is comforting. No TJ Watt, no Alex Highsmith. Not a concern if you're hoping, all you're hoping for is CJ Stroud getting out of there without getting hit. So you don't have to worry about that. Beyond CJ, if Kamari Lassiter isn't going to play, I'm going to throw a lot of focus on Jalen Petrie. It's a big year for him. He's playing a new position. His second year was disappointing, after what people considered a bright spot in a bad year for the Texans overall in 2022. He was one of them. Him and Damian Pierce. It's weird that happened to both of those guys. Second-year players playing in new systems. The bright spots for 2022 did not follow it up in 2023. Damian Pierce, we're going to see a lot of tonight, too, with Joe Mixon out. Damian Pierce's first action, and D'Amico Ryans has been very effusive in his praise of Damian Pierce and Jalen Petrie, to be honest with you. So it'll be nice to see if those words can be backed up by performances, because those guys need them. And with Joe Mixon unavailable, I wouldn't be surprised if Damian Pierce plays well, and I've said it, that he is the guy you're looking at as the best back. I think there's a real reason Cincinnati decided we could do without Joe Mixon. Now, they had Chase Brown, I believe, as their young running back to go to. But they made a trade, and we're fine doing it. I won't call them scraps, but I always wonder, when you're trading a running back who's had success in the past, what does Cincinnati know that the regular public doesn't know about Joe Mixon and his juice? We've heard from Texans brass, whether it be Slowick or D'Amico, that Joe Mixon still has it. The big explosive runs have not been something he's been able to create recently. Damian Pierce, when he was going good, is a guy who could turn a four-yard gain into 10 just by breaking a tackle, and that was in year one. We'll see what he is in year three. So I've got Pierce, Petrie, and if there's a third, I think it's Blake Fisher. He showed out well in week one of the preseason. Can he continue to stack performances on top of performances when you're talking about elevating him to, at a minimum, your third tackle, the swing tackle? Tytus Howard's been injured in the past. Hell, he's injured now. Laremy Tunsil missed a lot of time a couple years ago now, but he doesn't have the health concerns, at least right now, that Tytus Howard does. So Blake Fisher's got a real chance to play meaningful snaps this season, mostly because of injury. I don't think they'll be pulling, certainly not Tunsil, but even Tytus Howard's going to get every opportunity to solidify himself as your right tackle. The money suggests, it doesn't suggest, it just tells you. The money that he's paid tells you that he will get first, second, third, however many chances he needs, unless he's an absolute disaster in his return to right tackle after playing guard last year. So those are a couple guys I'm looking forward to watching. And by looking forward to it, first couple series, because I don't think they're going to be playing beyond that. So get the looks in, because I think those guys are going to be done really, really early. I think Damian Pierce will play as long as CJ plays, because right now he's your starting back, despite Joe Mixon being fine. Fine. And Blake and Tytus Howard is good. We got fine and good. I want to see available. I want that word to come out of D'Amico's mouth at some point. They're available today or tonight.
On the field.
Well, yes, that's three words, but that's fine too. Fine, good, whatever. Available, on the field, will practice. Those are all things I'm looking for in the next couple weeks. I think I'm done with he's tough. Joe's going to be fine. Tytus will be good. Tytus will play. In fact, Laremy Tunsil will play. I like to hear that too this preseason. That might be unlikely, but I like to hear that too.
That's also lower on my priority.
That's true. There's no real thing about him that suggests he won't play week one. He just not going to practice. I guess he'll practice later in August as we get ready for the year, but he's off to the side doing his thing. I just like some of the terminology to change for the other guys.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I get it. I do wonder if we're especially on edge. Our radar is especially picking up all the little sidestep ways to say Joe Mixon and Tytus Howard aren't playing.
Because of a certain franchise in town?
Because we just spent, 4.5 months doing the same thing with the baseball team in town?
Mm-hmm. There may be some...
Since before the season started, actually.
There may be some fatigue from, they'll be okay.
What does that mean? What does that mean, D'Amico? Right? Like, D'Amico's like, why am
I being attacked? Why are you bringing your Astros baggage to me?
Yeah,
I haven't done anything.
I'm just trying to say he's fine.
Yeah, he'll be ready. In fact, a simple he'll be ready for the regular season. I think that would be enough for me. Because that is actually a timeline that tells me he's ready. He'll be ready to go. In fact, I can hold you accountable to a timeline you've given me, as opposed to all the Astros dancing around. And yeah, I heard that, Sean. I know Tytus Howard's good. I've been told. When he returns to practice, I'll believe it.
That's when he'll be good in your eyes.
Yes, when he can actually get out there and play and take snaps in 11-on-11, I believe he's good. I feel like we got another week of Tytus Howard at minimum working on the side. That feels like almost a lock. But he's good. We have our winner for the Alien Romulus tickets. Congratulations to whoever won that.
Ricardo.
Congratulations to Ricardo. for winning those tickets, for dialing a number.
Hey.
But you got to dial the number. You got to try.
Hey.
All you got to do is try, and you win something. And you timed it out right, and you're caller eight. We'll talk to Michael Carroll a little bit later. Between now and Alien Romulus release date, there are going to be things you need to watch. He will recommend those. And remember, Michael Carroll is the host of Comicast, which you can hear every Friday on ESPN 975 from 9 to 10. And then it's also in podcast form. If you don't want to wait, wherever you find your podcast, that's where you can find Comicast. He does that with Jong Lee. If you don't know who Jong is, he used to be a producer here at 97.5. Those guys do a good job keeping you up to date on the biggest news in whether you want to call it pop culture, just culture, nerd culture, whatever. They're there for you. We had the end of the House of the Dragon season. We've got Batman, Caped Crusader, that cartoon that Michael Carroll referenced earlier in one of his appearances. We actually had a call about that. And that, I forgot to talk about that. We had a caller ask about it. He talked about how it didn't show one of the Batman villains getting their head blown off, but you could tell. Yeah, it's not for kids. I mean, there are, of course, Batman's in therapy, or at least Bruce Wayne's in therapy in one of the episodes. He's gotta work through the trauma of his mom dying. I did in one of the episodes, as France just scored after an awful goalie misplay. I don't know the under 23 goalie for Spain, but you're no Iker Casillas. Not after that. That was terrible. The replay is not going to do him any favors, but France takes the lead at home in the gold medal match as they tried to secure a gold for the country. It's going to be a big day for France, too, or a big weekend. They got a gold medal opportunity today and one tomorrow in men's basketball. But back to Caped Crusader before we go to break. Bruce Wayne punched the guy for mentioning his mom. He pretty much, because it's like set, the time frame is like where guys say broad and it's not out of place. I'm not sure the year, but that what was that broad doing in that alley anyway? And Bruce Wayne was like, what? What'd you say about my mom behind my back? Bam. Punched him in the face. Yeah, that goalie's going to regret that. Mm-mm-mm. That was bad. He overplayed that, got his hands to it, but I hope there's a angle that shows like Ronaldo or Roberto Carlos like swerve on that, because if there isn't, you ain't gonna live that down, whoever your name is. 1-0 France. We will come back with more. The Astros are back at it today. I'll give you who's on the mound for them as they try to get some distance from the Mariners, because it's as close as it can possibly be. They're tied in the standings. The Astros simply lead because they've played two less games than the Rangers. Astros in Boston for a series against the Red Sox. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are. No, not really. Okay.
So the Astros in Boston, 6-10 start, as Spain has just tied it up. So that goalie can feel a little bit better after his misplay. 1-1 Spain, France, and what appears to be a big-time back-and-forth squabble, because Spain has had their chances. France has had theirs to even go up 2-0, but Spain survives and ties it up in the gold medal match in men's soccer. But Ronel Blanc on the mound today or tonight, and then you got Spencer Arrighetti and Hunter Brown. At this point, I don't really doubt any of the Astros pitchers. Kikuchi would have been the obvious choice, but we've seen what he has been. The Arrighetti thing can fluctuate, but he has been solid enough where he shouldn't be 4-10. So you've got a good chance to win this series, and that's what this pitching has provided really since. Really, I don't want to make the mark of demarcation when Kyle Tucker went down, because that's what a lot of people point to. It's a clear focal point or a point where you thought things could have gone really poorly. They're already pretty bad with Kyle Tucker. As far as in the race, I mean, that kind of turned it around a little bit, but they were still trying to catch Seattle. He goes down, And the pitching has been a saving grace while the bats can have their moments and then also kind of disappear. So the pitching will be fine, at least on paper. We'll certainly see what happens. So Blanco, Arrigetti, and Brown. By the way, Verlander's rehab starts begin tomorrow in Sugar Land. The question will be whether he starts another one there or maybe he starts for Corpus. There's some scheduling things the Astros have to work out. But if you want to keep an eye on Sugar Land, I think you can hear Verlander start tomorrow on 92.5. We carry Space Cowboys game. So we'll see how Verlander does as he tries to work his way back. Or maybe simply a couple of rehab starts away. And his response to those starts from having Verlander back as the Astros eventually will get to a six-man rotation. And I think their young pitchers would welcome it. Take a little stress off those guys as they have held up their bargain and probably done more than should have been asked of them to keep the team in the race, tied with the Mariners going forward. So the Astros have the Red Sox in Boston, the Red Sox in the thick of the wild card race, and Seattle, as we always got a scoreboard watch, they have the Mets at home. So you got to shop for Seattle to drop 2 out of 3. And if you take 2 out of 3, all of a sudden, now I'm doing math for you. You take 2 out of 3, they drop 2 out of 3, and you're tied currently. How many games up would they be? That's right. It's 2. They'd be 2 up, and that'd be a great result after what happened with that first game in Arlington. No, the second. I can't. Yeah, the first game in Arlington. The near no-hitter was the second game. So never, don't get too high. Don't get too low. We know that's what baseball season is. In fact, that's what we'd call it, Sean. That's just baseball.
That is just baseball. One game while you're scoreboard watching the Tigers rob a home run to stay alive in a game and go on to win. The next game, they have a outfield blunder that costs them a game. Hey, came out in the wash. That's baseball.
2 out of 3, the Mariners dropped, and you'll take that. And now, you head deeper into August, and I feel like the Verlander thing, well, I hope so, I guess. I'm just hoping the Verlander thing works out. Mostly because I would like this particular saga to end. I want him in a 35 in our Astros uniform, not throwing live BP, actually pitching for them, just to remove this conversation, and then the Kyle Tucker one will follow.
The 41-year-old Japanese break transfer just advanced.
So is she catching the same slander? Actually, Twitter got after her too.
Really?
They pretty much said, we can't have this win a gold medal. Like they know anything about what breakdancing takes. The technical aspects of breakdancing. I don't think anyone really knows who doesn't follow the sport. Oh, this isn't good. You don't know. None of us know.
You don't know. I really wish I was watching this with sound just to know what music is being played. Because watching on mute is a bizarre experience.
Didn't really think about it until you mentioned it. What's the music choices? What are they picking to dance to,
imagine it's songs from their country.
You think local or you think whatever they consider appropriate breakdancing music from their country?
It's probably not going to be Mob Deep or whatever.
There's a Lithuanian rapper that the Lithuanian was dancing to?
Yes. Yes, there definitely is.
Well, does that happen in gymnastics? In the floor exercise, do they play music from their country?
Probably not exclusively, but probably a good amount.
I haven't watched gymnastics not on mute this entire summer. I generally only watch it here, and the TVs are always on mute. I don't watch the replays later in the day because I've already seen it live. Sean's going to be our breakdancing correspondent for the next 30 minutes or so.
You know what I'll do? I'll break in with any news.
I knew you were going there, and I'm still disappointed in you.
If there's any breaking news, I'll let you know. How about that? Better?
No. But I'm worse. I acknowledge you leaning in and I'm fine with it. But it's not better.
I'll make sure to step up to the challenge.
How many do you think you can get to?
Not very many.
What was the one with Marcus Houston. Which movie was that? Him and Chris Brown were in it, I think.
Oh, I thought that was the Step It Up movie or Step Up movie.
There had to be one. All right, time to Google. I don't care. We got Michael Carroll coming up next. What was the? There have been several. Apparently, Chris Brown was in Battle of the Year as the star in that one. But he was also in one where he was like a side character. Or maybe Omarion was in that movie. You Got Served. Of course. That's an embarrassing couple moments for us.
Okay,
can't remember You Got Served?
Then when I'm finished with delivering the news, just know that you just got served the news.
Save that for the Go On George show. It fits in on their show, I think. Coming up next, we'll talk to Michael Carroll, mostly because I can't take any more breakdancing references from Sean. I appreciate your efforts, though. Michael Carroll, maybe as Spain has just scored again. What a fight back for Spain! I think we got a nice one here, 2-1 already, as Spain has responded to the early French goal. Michael Carroll will join us to talk about things that aren't soccer related, unless he's got a soccer movie he thinks we should watch. I'm gonna doubt it. I'm gonna put my money on no.
She's
there,
the man.
Bend it like Beckham. What else can we think of? Maybe he just tells us to watch Ted Lasso. Who knows? But Michael Carroll joins us next, the host of Comicast, to give you what you should and maybe shouldn't watch this weekend.
ESPN 97.5.
And action!
It's Friday, and so you're probably wondering, what am I going to watch this weekend? Besides all the sports, of course. If you're not sure if you should go to the theater or stay home and binge something, we got you covered on the Del Olalea Show. Time to talk about what you should be watching this weekend with Del Olalea, Sean Mapes, and some guy named Michael Carroll.
Welcome back. Michael Carroll is here with us. Sean is still watching breakdancing. I'm watching Olympic soccer where Spain has scored again. They're up 3-1, so... Thierry Henry, who is the manager for the Spain under-23 team, the Olympic team, not going well for him. See if they can come back in that one. But Michael's here to talk about things you should watch that don't involve soccer, unless he, as we joked about, he's going to recommend Bend It Like Beckham.
Kicking and Screaming.
I have not seen that one, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, Will Ferrell, Mike Ditka. Yeah, that's,
I do remember that,
That's a soccer movie for you.
It's a good one. That's a good one.
Good?
It's a good reference.
It's a great reference, actually. But let's talk about things that were released this decade.
We can do that.
So Michael Carroll, the host of Comicast with Jong Lee, on the latest episode, which you're going to be able to hear tonight from 9 to 10 on ESPN 97.5. You can already hear it on Spotify or Apple, wherever you find your podcast. Was Jong expressing his concerns about the Fantastic Four movie? We also have a spoiler review of House of the Dragon, the finale.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with for the Fantastic Four. If you don't know the cast, Pedro Pascal is playing Mr. Fantastic. You've got Vanessa Kirby, who you might remember from the latest Mission Impossible movies.
Yes.
She also plays Princess Margaret in The Crown. You will recognize the face if you have seen some of the promotional stuff they put out there.
Also, the classic Fast and the Furious, Hobbs and Shaw.
She played the sister of one.
Of Deckard Shaw.
And then I think she makes an appearance in Fast and the Furious, one of the more recent, the latest one? I don't remember that. But yeah, she was in Hobbs and Shaw.
I think she was in 9, not X.
Okay, she was our historian. Breaking it down for us. We appreciate it.
I was waiting for as soon as the words Fast and the Furious came up.
So I was like, huh?
Perked up.
Like that Simone Biles picture video that's was floating around.
Exactly.
Where
like
she
that.
Just turns her head like she heard something. That was Sean. So you'll recognize you have Joseph Quinn, who will play Johnny Storm. You would have seen him in The Quiet Place Part 2, and also he was in Stranger Things. And then you have the cousin who was playing Thing. Cousin from the Bear.
Yes.
So you'll have names you recognize. They aren't giant stars outside of maybe Pedro Pascal, but they're all people you're going to recognize. If you could break down what Jong's concerns are, what would they be?
The main concern is So they are just getting shooting underway
yeah.
this last like week or so. They've shot a little bit because they did show some footage at San Diego Comic-Con. What was it? Weekend before last. So they have shot a little bit, but they're very, very early into production. That movie releases next July, July 25th, 2025. A movie that also comes out in July of next year, Superman, actually finished shooting just a week or so ago.
So it feels maybe rushed, possibly.
That's the concern that Jong has. But what I'm thinking is that I think there's a strong chance that it gets delayed. Just because there's still the November 7th release date for Blade, zero chance that's making it. They did announce some movements with their release schedule, and those movies stayed pat. But I can't imagine that Blade holds that November 7th. They're nowhere near production ready. They're still working on a script. I forget if they have a director as of yet still. That movie is going to move off that November 7th. So I wouldn't be shocked if Fantastic Four, as much as you probably want it to be a summer movie, I wouldn't be afraid to move it into the fall because you already have Captain America Brave New World in February. You already have Thunderbolts in May. It feels like a lot to have three movies in a span of 4 months, 5 months.
And do you want that movie in the same space that Superman's going to occupy?
Yeah, in July. I mean, and Superman is releasing July 11th, so it's like 2 weeks before.
Yeah.
It's probably fine, but I would honestly put more space in between.
Understood.
So that's his big concern, is just worrying about production, worrying about crunch, because I mean that's been an ongoing issue with Marvel in terms of effects. So we've struggled with some, not all of the effects, but some of the effects in some of the movies, Quantumania, other things, Secret Invasion, not like the best. So do you really want to rush Fantastic Four to shoot maybe a month, 2 months, and then turnaround time for production? That's a tough sell.
So understood.
That's his concern.
That makes some sense. So you titled your podcast, at least part of it, was a spoiler review of the finale of House of the Dragon, or Hot D, depending on if you want to be succinct with your words.
Yeah.
So we'll stay away from a spoiler review because we don't do that here. You get the chance to watch it whenever you want. But if you're listening to Comicast, they've warned you. So let's give your overarching opinions of the season, because some people will criticize the finale for not having as much action or the season overall, because season one was supposed to be the setup, and then season two felt like, now we had some major events, but season two, at least in some people's eyes, there was too much magical dreams and too many conversations and not enough dragons killing people. Where do you stand on season two?
I still think it's a good season. Yes, Damon and Harrenhal, his weird trip basically the entire season was kind of like, okay, we get it. But it was much needed to get him to the place that he's at by the end of season two. Was it a great finale? I don't know that it was, but it's still a good episode, especially like I was joking with Jong. I went on a rabbit hole afterwards of trying to like read up about certain aspects of it, and they're changing things, they're adapting things, but some stuff correlates with what George R. R. Martin has written, and it's still an interesting place that they're going to, and they're building up, and that was the big thing in the season finale. Yes, there wasn't action. Yes, there wasn't a big anything really outside of big moments for characters and big conversations.
Yeah.
Your mileage may vary. I wouldn't blame you if you didn't love it. I liked it, but I'm definitely not as high on it as I was maybe on the first season finale. It wasn't perfect, but it still was a good episode of television, I think.
I think getting slapped in the face with a Lannister being in what, Tyrosh? Is that the name?
Oh, Tywin Lannister?
Yeah. As far as being across the sea, in an environment we haven't seen all year, I think that might have been a little bit of a a stunning thing for people considering what they thought was going to happen when we thought war was coming, considering the final
scene. Yeah, and so much time was spent, right? And
yeah.
Essos, I mean, it's the first
Essos, yes.
However much of the episode. And I know they talked about it afterwards of like they wanted to provide levity. Like, yeah, that's true, but maybe have some of that in episode 9,
yeah,
or excuse me, episode 7.
Place that someplace
like that.
Else, yeah.
But I do think there's a bigger... And we can't get into it here because we don't have the time. But I think there's a bigger issue in terms of epic storytelling on TV nowadays, where season one of House of the Dragon was 10 episodes. They dropped it down to 8 episodes. And now we're going to have to wait 2 years probably until we get season 3. And I'm sure they cut down the amount of episodes, probably because of story, but also because of budget and things, because it's a high quality show. They probably have to cut the budget at some point and maybe not deliver us as many episodes. That, I think, also kind of is in play here as well.
And maybe the hope is now that you have all these dragons actually designed, will it cost less to implement them? And maybe you get 10 episodes because next season, a lot of dragons, a lot of war, at least that's what we suspect. So how many episodes will we get? I think that is still up for debate.
I do think season 3 kicks off right into the fighting. I don't think there's any question of it, especially with the way things set up in the very end with everyone's like kind of on the way. I do think season 3 is going to start off with a bang. And not like this season's first episode. I think it'll be more of like episode 4 from season 2.
Yeah, because the season finale ends with a montage that makes you think the next episode feels like if it's not scene 1, then at least 10 minutes until the events of episode 1, season 3, we're going to have a war
and
starting.
Sorry to cut you off. There's a couple of battles from the book that I think they're adapting for next season. Battle of Gullet and Battle of Honeywine, I think was the name of it. So, yeah. And I will say the one of the highlights was Daemon's, I guess we can't get into it, but Daemon's
final
deal.
Dream.
Yeah, I think was very interesting.
Yeah, I thought as they tried to create connections to some of the events of the series that started this whole thing, Game of Thrones and what's going on in House of the Dragon. So, you obviously can watch that. I don't work for HBO or Max, but you know where you can find it if you haven't seen it yet. What about things that have not been released or maybe have been released today that you think people should watch?
Well, starting at the theater, I don't know that you should watch this first wide release.
We may have talked about it quite a bit this week on the show.
Are you referencing Borderlands?
That I am.
Yes. The video game adaptation starring Kevin Hart, Jamie Lee Curtis, Ariana Greenblatt, as well as Cate Blanchett and Jack Black. I can't recommend this one.
It's not the only one.
It's sitting at a 6% with critics
right now.
Up from
4, Sean.
Hey, they've made progress. Yeah, that's going up. 6% and 48% with audiences. It's just, it's not looking good for Borderlands.
You got Cate Blanchett. Now, she's not immune to doing IP. She was in Thor. She's been in a Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
Movie before, but when you think you see that name, the Kevin Hart stuff, whatever, your mileage may vary on him in a movie, but you see Cate Blanchett, you'll think, okay, how do they convince her to do this? There's got to be something there, right? Because Thor Ragnarok was a good movie.
Yeah.
And she was in it.
Yeah.
So you would think, okay, if she's doing this, I won't say anyone's beyond just taking a bag, but you just assume it's going to be good. And maybe the script was good, but from all reports, it didn't translate to the actual movie itself.
Well, it's a movie that they shot back in 2021. Like, this is a movie that's been kind of on the shelf for a little while.
Maybe for good reason.
I think so. And I remember watching Gearbox is the company that makes Borderlands, and their president was like walking around behind the scenes of the movie, like, you know, hey, here's so-and-so. But I'm pretty sure people had no idea who he was. And like, he knocks on Kevin Hart's door and Kevin Hart's like, what is happening right now? Like, it's just a very weird vibe from that movie from the jump. And so,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe to a smaller degree, but it'd be like George R. Martin, R. Martin walking around on the set. And no one knows who he is.
I have no idea.
That might speak to the level of commitment to the actual material if the guy who created it is unrecognizable to the stars of the movie.
Yeah, so I can't recommend Borderlands. There's also the horror movie Cuckoo that comes out this weekend. It Ends With Us with Blake Lively. So if you want to take your significant other to a movie like that.
I read the context of that may not be the best thing for you.
Oh, maybe not. Never mind.
Yeah, there are some elements of a romantic relationship that you wouldn't want to highlight in your own.
Maybe not.
Maybe you love liking the toxicity on television, but you wouldn't or a theater.
Strike that from the record.
Yeah.
Michael
wasn't exactly sure. You just see Blake Lively and think,
I saw Romance. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, from what I could tell from people who have talked about, I think it's based off a book. There are some things in it that maybe you wouldn't want to take a date to.
The pick, though, that I want to highlight at the theater, it's a limited release, so it may be a little tough to see it. I know it's only at, I think, 4 theaters here in Houston. Twilight of the Warriors Walled In. It's a Hong Kong action movie that I have loved ever since I watched the trailer. It is a phenomenal, just adrenaline-packed film. One of the opening of the trailer, a guy basically like takes down one guy, but at the same time throws up his cigarette and throws the guy down and grabs the cigarette before the cigarette falls. Like, it's just an absurd Hong Kong action flick that I am all about. This is like speaks to me on so many levels because it's just absurd. So if you want to have fun, go watch that.
Now, you have to overcome subtitles. I know that can be scary for people, right?
Sean.
He overcame subtitles for Shogun.
That's true. He did.
He did what?
I was working on something else, and I just heard my name get yelled at.
In a less than complimentary way. Yeah. You were referencing a movie with subtitles and your unwillingness initially to deal with them in Shogun. But you got over it.
Yeah, I overcame it.
Yeah.
Good job.
Did my homework.
Good struggle, job out of you.
Mostly, he was being a good producer, and it was a conversation piece throughout a couple months, so he had to be involved. But we appreciate it. So,
you're welcome.
You love. I appreciate the politeness. So, absurdity, you're in on
100%.
So you're recommending that.
Yes.
We don't recommend Borderlands.
No.
Is anything else on the list, one way or the other?
Streaming wise, you have The Umbrella Academy season 4.
I did watch episode 1 yesterday.
I haven't had a chance to watch it as of yet, but it's an underrated show, I think.
Definitely.
There's a show called The Industry, Industry on HBO.
If you wanted to see Jon Snow in a suit, Kit Harington's playing a major role in season 3.
You also have Mr. Throwback on Peacock. That's the Steph Curry show, if anybody's interested, and a mockumentary comedy type thing.
So different from the Steph Curry cartoon he produced.
Yes.
What was it called again?
I don't remember. I don't remember that one, but I know what you're talking
about.
It was an
animated version.
Wasn't Good Times?
Was an animated version of Good Times?
Oh, that one, yeah.
That went poorly for Steph Curry.
That was very bad.
It was like all of his Olympics until yesterday.
Yeah, that was
that TV show.
This one's okay. Like, Mr. Throwback is he's playing a fictionalized version of himself, and he's helping a former like middle school teammate or something like that get his life together.
Okay.
It's gotten okay reviews so far on Rotten Tomatoes and from critics. So if you want to check that out, if you have Peacock, you can see that. You can also check out The Instigators on Apple TV Plus with Matt Damon and Casey Affleck.
I've seen that movie.
It's a film.
Promoted quite a bit, yes.
Yeah, so that one. And it's getting solid reviews as well. So there's a few things to watch this weekend.
All right. I want to thank Michael Carroll for joining us. Stay away from Borderlands. Anything else, try it out.
Yeah,
he's got one hard no, and it's Borderlands. And you guys have heard us talk about it. Doesn't look good. Does not look good.
Bad adaptation of the game.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, video games had been on a bit of a streak. You know, The Last of Us, Fallout has been widely viewed by critics and people who are just regular audience members who liked it.
Yeah. Borderlands?
Borderlands, we're
not
going
so
back.
Much.
We're going back into, like, Resident Evil, like, 4, as far as bad things that need to be made, I guess, for whatever reason. So, Comicast, 9 to 10 on ESPN 975. You can find it on Spotify, Apple, wherever you find your podcast. That's Michael Carroll and John Lee. Every week, Michael joins us. giving you what you should and shouldn't watch. Thank you, Michael. We'll talk to you next week. We got one more segment to go here on this show before we wrap it up for the week. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
All right, I was going to get into Kevin Durant's comments. He had time for everyone on Twitter this morning. Early this morning, at least Central time. He's in Paris, so it's a little different for him. But we have an interloper on the show. A guy you guys have been calling for, a lot of hashtag pay this man. Let's welcome Raheel Ramzanali. He apparently wants to end the week with me. What's up, Raheel?
What's up, Deli Bear? How are you, buddy?
First, you're starting off on a bad foot. Don't call me that. But
if your mama calls you Deli Bear, I'm going to call you Deli
Bear. She's never called me any of that, so there it is. Welcome, Raheel. How was it taking your daughter to school in the middle, not even the middle, early August on a Thursday?
Oh my gosh, it was miserable. It's the worst. Don't have kids.
I've been saying that for years. Kids. You got two. Oh, you're my two gosh. Ahead of me.
Oh, it's so hot out there, and there's so many parents, and of course, every kid is the most important kid, so parents are cutting the school drop-off line. It was just nonsense on the first day of school. And then today wasn't as bad. The line was just super long for the drop-off. But, you know, that's part of it, man. You just wrap it up, guys. Wrap it up.
Yeah, don't abstain. just wrap it up. How does it feel? Because you made a request for us to wish her happy return to school. Did you appreciate it by the end of that conversation?
I didn't even hear it because by the time y'all got to it, we were already inside. So I need to go back and listen to it on the podcast.
It's better that she didn't hear it.
Okay.
Because John was being John. We did do that, and then it devolved into something no child should have to be subjected to. But Hayden is the name of Raheel's young daughter. Started the fourth grade on August 8th. What a misery. Yep. I'd be like, no. Yep. What happened to starting in early September like when I was a kid? August.
I know.
I was still in Florida for the summer. Why? I start in school in August.
School already, yeah. I mean, like, it's already back. HISD starts on Monday. It's because all these districts are doing this thing called the District of Innovation. And what that means, they have more time with the students. So they get back to school earlier. Now, they did end a little bit earlier as well, which was nice, but we're already back to school, which is okay. You know what? Get her out of the house. Let the teachers take care of them.
Yes.
And then what happened to the days, Del? Real quickly, last thing on school. You know, back when I was in the fourth grade, I didn't have teachers that looked like Hayden's teachers, okay? I'm just saying.
There's a cottage industry of teacher influencers that they have turned their profession into a vehicle for their Instagrams. And this is my outfit of the week. This is my school plan. I'll put it on YouTube. I'll put it on Instagram. And yeah, to your point, there are a lot of like 25-year-old to 30-year-old teachers who don't give off school marm stuff. It's different now.
It's different. It's almost like OnlyFans models are going into teaching to help with their OnlyFans career.
There is a particular category. Men like teachers.
My teacher, my fourth grade teacher, and this is, look, everybody's beautiful on the inside and all that,
so on,
but
so
my
forth.
Fourth grade teacher was easily pushing 300.
Oof, I didn't know it was going to be a weight thing. I thought you were just going to talk about what she looked like.
I mean, like, she was just, you know. Again,
she was a heavier woman, certainly.
Yeah, she enjoyed life. And
That's one way to put it.
Man, I was walking around back to school, and my wife would not let me walk alone.
Can't let you off the leash. Only thing I remember like that, well, not to your point, but to what you're talking about now, not when you were a kid. I had a summer school kid, summer school teacher who was probably like 27 years old. You know, one of the cool ones. I was like,
mm-hmm.
not great for the attention span if you're in high school at the time.
No.
But she's teaching the teachers you're talking about, at least in this case, are teaching elementary school kids. So maybe it won't have the same effect. Just the dads are going to be hanging around asking for after class meetings far more often than they should.
Yeah, it's like, why? Your kid is great.
Yeah.
She's an angel. Why do you keep requesting meetings?
I just really want to be involved. I feel like I want to be an involved dad. Can we have a meeting every week?
Hey, congratulations to John and Lance. How
Definitely.
About that? Texas, what was it, the Regional Radio Hall of Fame?
It's not the Montgomery County Radio Hall of Fame. It's the Texas Radio Hall of Fame. It encompasses all of Texas from Lubbock to I don't know, Jasper. All of it in between, yeah.
Imagine if they would hit their brakes, Del. They could have been National Radio Hall of Famers. But because they can't ever hit a break, they are just, you know, the Kilgore Radio Hall of Fame.
It's not the Kilgore. It's just situated in Kilgore. But it's for all of Texas. You know, Todd, who made the announcement, came in and go, hey, could you make sure these guys take it seriously? Because I don't want them poo-pooing this. This is a big deal. And I was like, sure. See, you wouldn't have been allowed in the room for this. You're supposed to honor them.
I am honoring them, man. It is for real, though. That is awesome. I'm so glad they got in that second ballot Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Well, Lance did. I think John's the first ballot, but Lance, this was the second opportunity. So I don't know who stood in his way. I'm sure, like, Rich Lord was like, not this guy. Not on the first try.
Is Rich Lord in the Hall of Fame?
I don't know. It's the Texas Radio Hall of Fame. Am I an expert on that, Raheel? No one knows.
I figure you would be by now. I mean, your coworkers, your friends, your mentors are now Hall of Famers. So maybe you should do some research.
All I know is those Wash Kings are well-deserving of their award. And speaking of getting the break on time, I've just been given a signal to wrap it up.
Okay.
There's another show coming up next. Come on, George. I want to thank Raheel. See, he's available.
Bye, buddy.
Thank you, Raheel. Raheel Ramzanali, the host of CityCast on all the places you find podcasts, much like Comicast. We're done for the week. Gallant and George up next, followed by the Killer Bees. So if I'm done and we're done, what does that mean?
We did it!
That it is correct. I'll talk to you on Monday.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.